Live from the podcast studio, this is From Long Distance to Marriage with Rich and Andrea. We're a once long distance couple who closed 5,000 miles of distance and are now happily married.
We talk long distance, marriage and relationships.
Everybody, welcome to episode 105 of From Long Distance to Marriage. We are getting old. This week, we wanted to talk about something that we've had. We had a message specifically about this, but looking back at a lot of the messages we get from listeners, it seems to be quite a big theme, and that's dealing with relationship anxiety specific to a long-distance relationship. So we have talked about this a little bit before in various episodes. We did have an episode early on about, you know, mental health in your relationships, but we wanted to talk specifically about kind of how to cope with anxiety in your long-distance relationship, how to recognize if you or your partner is exhibiting some behaviors that could, you know, be coming off of the back of anxious feelings, and also what it can do to your relationship if you don't handle it correctly. And first of all, to say, like, no judgment. I dealt with a lot of relationship anxiety when we were long distance. There's nothing, like, nobody can blame you. It's really difficult to be in a long distance relationship. So if you are feeling anxiety, 100% understandable. But it's just the way you deal with that or present or talk about it to people that can really help or hinder the whole situation. So I don't want to be the only one to talk the whole time, even though I was the one that had the anxiety.
Episode 105, Andrew's monologue.
Sorry, guys. But yeah, I think, why do you think, give you a chance to talk before I just take up the whole episode talking, what is it about long distance that can make people so much more anxious than a normal relationship?
Well, the being apart.
Yeah, that bit.
It's multifaceted, isn't it? Because, you know, you're in a relationship because you want to be with the person, but a long-distance relationship means you're not physically with them. So you can have some separation, you can have some envy, you can have, especially this time of year, or holidays, birthdays, you know, the special occasions. If you can't share those moments with your partner, then, you know, there's the more negative side of it where you may have other people's judgment and you feel like you're always having to defend yourself for why you're in a long distance relationship. You know, hearing from people that it won't work, they're probably cheating on you, you know, there's something wrong with them, otherwise they'd have someone close to home. And even if you don't believe all that and you're able to close the conversations, it can plant seeds of doubt. You know, then there is the obvious, what are they cheating on me? You know, what are they doing? Who are they with right now? If you've got any insecurities, long-distance relationships can really shine a light on that. Then you've got the uncertainty about closing, especially this year, as you know, demonstrated that, the amount of people who've reached out to us and said their plans have been cancelled, they were supposed to meet for the first time, or they were supposed to get married, or they were supposed to close the distance, and all the travel plans were put on hold. You know, so there's just, it brings so much uncertainty, so it's, I expect that even people who don't suffer with anxiety can get anxiety as a result of long-distance relationships. There's all sorts of reasons, different reasons for it, or from it, rather, that can cause it or exacerbate it.
Yeah, and there's just insecurities as well. Like, a lot of people in long-distance relationships have arranged times they're going to speak, and then if you don't hear from them at that time, you start to freak out about their safety, you start to freak out about all kinds of stuff, or, oh my God, what does it mean? They haven't turned up. Are they sick of me? Are we done? Am I being ghosted? Like, it can go down a bit of a path. So there's any number of things that can make you feel anxious in your long distance relationship. And yeah, it's pretty freaking understandable, but there's a couple things that you need to kind of either work through it or cope with it. I'm no expert on getting through anxiety because I deal with it with a variety of different things. But I'm kind of an expert in living with it, if that makes sense, and coping. So first thing is, you know, you need to talk about it and you need to be honest with your partner about what you're experiencing. If you're not sure if it's anxiety or just like jealousy or just insecurity, I think if it's affecting your day-to-day life, it's pretty certain that it is actually anxiety. So if it's actually affecting how much you're enjoying your relationship, if you're so consumed by worrying about how you're going to make it work, how you're going to close the distance, what they're doing when you're not talking to them. If that's giving you any kind of physical sensations, like racing heart, you know, different parts of your body can feel shaky, or like I get like almost an overflow of energy and I just feel like I'm going to jump out of my skin if something's really making me anxious enough that I'm getting physical like side effects. So I think pay attention to your body first and see, like, am I just a bit worried, or is this actually anxiety? And then if it happens once or twice, like, you know, okay, we all have moments where things make us a bit panicky in life, but if it's something that's occurring regularly and it's starting to affect the way you see your partner, you know, if you're so worried about what they're doing, for example, that you're starting to get angry or it's starting to affect your feelings for them, you know, that could be a more of a deep-rooted anxiety thing. So first things first, you need to let your partner know that you're experiencing that. And you need to do it in such a way that isn't an accusation. I think that's really important to say, look, I'm feeling this way and I just want to let you know about it. Not, you're doing this all the time and it's making me feel like this and it's really bad for me. Like, you can't do it that way. You know, anxiety isn't their fault and it's not your fault, but nobody should be blamed for it.
No, that's true. But I think there can be a tendency to overstate some things.
Okay.
You know, like, mental health is very much in vogue now, and it, as it should be. But I think a potential consequence of that has been sometimes expectations of sympathy can go too far.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so sometimes you haven't really got anxiety, you're insecure. Or you're just not happy with them. You know, sometimes it can be used as an excuse. Like, oh, this is making me feel anxious. You can feel anxious without having anxiety.
Well, that's why I highlighted kind of identifying if it is actually anxiety.
Yeah, so, and also, you know, understanding has to go both ways. So if you're feeling a certain way about a potential behaviour, and that behaviour is not being exhibited, so let's say the other person is, well, I'm not cheating, I'm not going out of party, I'm not doing anything, like, this is something you're manifesting, you need to be understanding of where they're coming from too. So look, they're being put on the dock for something they haven't done.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, so I think, you know, anxiety and everything is very real, of course it is. I'm not saying it's not real, and it actual anxiety needs to be dealt with properly. But where at the moment, I think sometimes it's very easy to overstate something to say it's anxiety when perhaps it's not, and to expect too much, you know, being treated with kid gloves on. Like, oh, well, I've got anxiety, you can't talk like that.
But yeah, yeah, no.
So, and sometimes that's what you need. Sometimes, you know, it's where's the proactivity coming from here? Sometimes if you get around people who themselves have worked through anxiety, that is going to be more helpful to people than being around people who let anxiety control their lives, because they're not the kind of people you're going to learn from. Do you know what I mean? If you're around people who all say, there's no way through this, it's terrible, I've been doing it for 30 years, there's no hope, you're not going to learn from those people how to control this.
It's also worth noting that while you didn't deal with anxiety around our relationship, you very much have experienced anxiety in your life. So
yeah,
you're not,
I've had
just
panic attacks and stuff.
There, you know, there was, you've had rough patches in your life in terms of that. So I just wanted to disclaimer that he's not just sitting here saying, well, people just need to control themselves and he's not done with it before.
And that's not what I'm saying either. I'm not saying it's easy to control. But to me it's important to be proactive and think what's gonna give me the best chance of success. Now sometimes that's medication, you know, of course sometimes that's going to see a professional, sometimes I get on tablets, talking it through with a psychiatrist or whoever. Sometimes it's just changing your environment. Sometimes you know what the root cause is here, and you can say, well, this has caused me anxiety, I need to remove myself from this situation. Sometimes it's much more serious, and sometimes it's maybe it's a byproduct of other things, and it's not all, it's sometimes what we want to hear isn't what we need to hear.
Mm-hmm. And also, even if it is just an insecurity, you're just a little bit worried about something because being long distance does mess with your head. And, you know, there's almost like a curtain between you and your partner. It's like they're there, they're this very real thing, but there's just this barrier. You can't get to them, you can't see them, you don't know. So it can make you question a lot. And that doesn't mean you're crazy, it doesn't mean you're bad, it doesn't mean you're not a trustful person or you're jealous. It's just kind of a result of the situation. So even if you, if there is kind of a grain of a thought in your head that you can't seem to get rid of and you don't think it's causing you anxiety, that doesn't mean you can't talk to your partner about it. So using the example that you just gave a second ago, Rich, that I'm really worried you're going to cheat on me. Like, you can have a conversation about that. Mm. You can say, like, look, you've not done anything to make me feel this way. I think it's just a byproduct of being long distance and, you know, we don't see each other. I don't know your friends maybe as well as I would. Like, you know, I just feel it's bothering me. And I don't, you might notice that I'm acting funny at times. Like, I really don't want it to be a problem. Like, that's an okay way to start the conversation. Yeah. And then you're probably going to get some reassurance, which, let's face it, you know, you need sometimes when you're long distance. It shouldn't be all the time. I probably needed too much reassurance from you, but thankfully you were fine with that. You know, at times I needed a lot. So, you know, don't feel like just because you're worrying about something that's unwarranted means that you're crazy or you can't talk about it. But that being said, even if it is a real anxiety issue and it's giving you problems, you can't expect your partner to stay at home all the time, not go out with their friends. I mean, right now you can because it's COVID. But, you know, in a normal day-to-day life, real, the typical world situation, just because you have this issue that's making you anxious or just maybe making you a bit insecure doesn't mean that your partner's going to change everything to accommodate that. It is something you have to cope with, unfortunately. They can maybe make modifications. You know, say they have a really good female friend, if they're a guy, and they've been friends their whole life and there's genuinely nothing there. If it's really just making you nervous, they can say, okay, well, I won't see them alone. I'll only see them with another friend. Does that make you feel better? You know, like, both sides have to be reasonable.
Yeah.
Which is kind of the starting point. But, you know, if it is anxiety and it's actually affecting, like I said, your enjoyment of the relationship to a point where maybe you don't know if you can do it, like you feel like you just want out of the relationship because you're so unhappy, not with the partner, but in terms of the situation of being long distance, or it's making you fight a lot because, you know, anxiety and depression can make you very snappy and unpleasant at times when you're working through something, then it's important to really make it known to your partner what you're going through without kind of worrying that they're going to judge you, and also maybe getting some external help. Like, you know, I had to start up counseling and medication again when we were long distance. I'd always had kind of psychiatry and medication out on and off throughout my childhood and young adult life, and then in our early 20s when we started kind of getting quite serious again, I wasn't on any medication and I wasn't seeing anyone for help. I was doing pretty good. But, you know, once we met and I knew that this is what I wanted to pursue, kind of the overwhelming, like, path of it all, you know, how are we going to make this work? How financially, how are we going to make this work? Visas, you know, is he going to get sick of this and, you know, break my heart halfway through a visa? You know, what's going to happen? Do we get married? Like, there's a lot to fucking think about, especially when it is an international relationship where visas are required. I needed help, and it's okay to need a little bit of support. It doesn't mean you're an unfit boyfriend or girlfriend or husband or wife. It just means that you're struggling, and that's okay. So get that help. Talk to your partner. If your partner belittles the situation and doesn't acknowledge that you might actually be struggling with something real, that's a different story. I mean, what are your kind of thoughts on that? Like, if they're like, oh, whatever, just stop worrying, it's fine. Like, they're just not...
I think
it's opening the dialogue.
I think it depends on the situation and why, because someone's opinion of that will depend on their experiences and also how well you're communicating it to them. You know, if you're just always telling them that you're worried about something, it's maybe they find it hard to sympathize with that. But if you say to them, look, this is why I feel this way, maybe they had issues in the past, maybe they...
But sometimes you don't know why with anxiety. You don't know why you feel that way.
No, I know that's true. But if you do, then it can help you to explain it. And, you know, if people haven't experienced it, it can be very hard to relate to it. You know, and especially if they're just very logical people who will just say, well, there's nothing to worry about. Don't worry about it. Because emotions are a very subjective thing. You know, so, but in terms of what's doing that situation, I suppose there's one of two things, isn't it? Either that's someone who is capable of developing some empathy and saying, okay, I don't understand what you're going through, but I understand that you are going through it and I'll support you. or they won't, and they'll never get it. And you know, those people do exist, but they just will never understand it. So if it's essential to you to have that support, then they're probably never going to be giving you that support. Or if you're able to find that support elsewhere, or you don't need it from them, then it's less of a problem. But I don't think there's a one-size-fits-all answer to that.
No, but, I mean, you do have to have some level of understanding if someone is actually going through something mental health
related. Yeah, for sure. So it depends. It brings into question, really, are they the right person? You know, because if they lack the empathy in one area, they probably lack it in other areas too.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, like, I found someone online recently. I was browsing Reddit for some reason, and you know, there's this thing on there about this woman who she met this guy 2018. I think by the end of, I don't know how long they were together, but it was less than a year, because by the end of that year she was pregnant, and she was like, she was in this horrible story about how he was basically gaslighting her and stuff throughout the pregnancy and ignoring her, treating her really mean, because as a result of her being pregnant, he felt he wasn't getting his sexual needs met anymore. But he'd never even communicated that to her, so she didn't even have the opportunity to change things. He was just keeping it all inside and being really moody, to the point that when she gave birth, her life was at risk. You know, she had a really, really bad birth. And she said even after that point, he didn't care, and he said, he acted like it was no big deal, and she's just given birth, whatever, get over it. Someone like that isn't just finding it difficult to understand where you're coming from with anxiety. That that is a particular type of person.
It doesn't have empathy.
And that behaviour will spill over into other areas. Yeah, but if it's just someone who says, look, I've never had anxiety, I can't really understand what it feels like, I do what I can to support you,
yeah,
but I don't know exactly what it is, you know, that's someone who's very different. And then you're going to have the third person who's more closer to that second one, who says, you know, look, I've never had anxiety, I don't really see what there's to worry about, don't worry about it. And in their own way, they're probably still trying.
Mm-hmm.
They're just not really giving you what you need. But I would say it depends which one of those three it is. Is this someone who's just basically an arsehole and is always going to be that? Or is it someone who really hasn't had the same exposure that you've had to understand how it feels?
Yeah. So it's identifying what type of person that is, and where you're going to get with that. And you know, it's worth mentioning that just because you're experiencing some anxiety right now doesn't mean you're going to have it forever. If you're a person who tends to be anxious in life anyway, yep, you're going to have it at times. Some people have an episode of severe anxiety around a specific situation, and then it goes away and they don't really experience it much else in their life. You know, I have people in my family like that who haven't had the experience that like I've had, and other members of my family who have dealt with anxiety pretty regularly. Something, you know, a certain situation in life will pop up and they're like, holy shit, this is what you've been dealing with your entire life. Like, wow. Mm. You know, and that can give people a different perspective. You know, the particular person I'm talking about has always been supportive and tried to be understanding, but didn't really understand what I was going through because they'd never dealt with it themselves. But they were always very sympathetic and understanding and supportive where they could. And then when they experienced it, it was like, yeah, like, oh, Jesus, like, I had no idea. Fucking sucks. So, yeah, it's just kind of figuring out who you're dealing with in terms of what they're able to give you in terms of sympathy and support. And if they're not, then, like, as you said, Rich, like, maybe they're not the right person. Especially if it is something you do have throughout life. But I do, we did want to talk also about, you know, what this can do to your relationship if you don't handle it right. Or if you do kind of expect people to wrap you in cotton and pussyfoot around you because you're an anxious person. And, you know, if your family and your friends do that, I mean, that's pretty common, but you can't expect the whole world to do that, you know. Employers, you know, educators, you know, outside people, and not the whole world isn't going to just, you know, leave a wide berth for you because you struggle.
Yeah. And also everyone has their own issues.
Yeah.
It may not be anxieties and stuff, but everyone has their own stresses and their own
dealing with stuff.
Yeah. So just in the same way that you would try and avoid burdens on you and things that make you worse, you know, the uncomfortable truth is you and your condition could be making things worse for other people, and they'll treat you in the same way, you know, trying to avoid you and whatever else. So thinking more about employers and people like that rather than boyfriends and partners and family members. But, you know, that is true. You can't expect everyone to just, I've got anxiety, everyone love me and everyone treat say what I want to hear.
Walk on eggshells.
Because, like I said before, what you need to hear and what you want to hear aren't necessarily the same thing. You know, I know for me, certainly when I've had anxiety in the past, there were just certain things I wanted to happen or certain things I wanted to be told or not told. But if I, looking back, and I, you know, I was quite fortunate that my family was in that sweet spot, I guess, where they gave me all the support I needed, but they also knew really what was best for me, you know, what needed to be done. And it didn't always feel like it in the moment, but in hindsight, it's like, do you know what, if they'd done everything I wanted, what I wanted was just to feel comfortable in that moment, and I would never would have got through it because I'd have just been made to feel comfortable. So, you know, it's not always the best thing.
Well, and that is the tricky thing about long distance, is that there's no real way to give you what you need in that moment. You know, like, what you need to feel better is to not be long distance or to be with your partner for a while, and that's not always possible, so...
Well, that would, I would say that depends on whether long distance, you know, like take you, you had anxiety anyway, so long distance became an issue in it, but you had anxiety before and after the long distance was there, so I would say that, you know, the long distance may be causing anxiety at that moment, but then if you close the distance, that doesn't mean you're never going to have more anxiety.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I still do, but other stuff. But I will say, if you do have anxiety issues throughout life, if you have an anxiety disorder, panic attacks, if it's something that you've, you know, carried throughout your life, you should tell a partner fairly early on about that, for a number of reasons. First of all, it can help explain away any behaviors that might be a bit strange, and they might go, okay, that's why you do this, that's fair. They also deserve to know. And you deserve to know how they're going to react to that quite early on. So I'm not saying it's a first date conversation, but, you know, it might be a third date conversation that, oh, by the way, like, I deal with this, you know, just like you would if you were pregnant already. I've been watching Friends, so I'm thinking about Rachel, but... Any big thing, you know, that affects you, you're going to tell people about, and they, you know, if there's
the
someone...
The thing is, that's the stigma, isn't it? There's still stigma around mental health, being, you know, are you crazy?
I don't mean it from that perspective.
Are you going to be more drama than it's worth? No, I know you don't mean that, but it's, I think some people may be, oh, I don't want to mention it to them this early in the relationship because they, you know, maybe they don't understand what it is. Yeah, that's still the issue being dealt with. Nowadays, it's like, you know, it doesn't mean I'm crazy, it doesn't mean I've got my shrink on speed dial, it doesn't mean I'm going to kill myself, it doesn't mean you're, you know, it doesn't mean that you sit there self-harming. These are all the things that people can still have a tendency to think about when you hear, like, you know, if you're with someone in a new relationship and they tell you, I get anxiety, you know, there are people who just respond to that in very different ways. So I understand why it's a difficult thing to bring up.
Oh, absolutely. But I think also you might be surprised with, you know, if you're not sitting across from an asshole with no empathy, like person number one in your scenario a minute ago, you're probably going to be surprised that either, you know, there's a few things that can happen. Yes, you could have the adverse reaction of, oh, wow, okay, yeah, you're more drama than I want. But it's probably going to be one or a combination of a couple other things. One, oh yeah, you know, I had a period in my life where I really struggled and so I totally understand that. Or, yeah, me too. You know, so many people experience anxiety either ongoing or at big times in their life that they're probably going to understand where you're coming from. Or it might be, yeah, you know, I've never experienced that myself, but a lot of my friends and family have, and, you know, I understand that. You know, so it's probably going to be one of those or a combo. Or, yeah, no, I don't, and no one else has, but that's cool. Like, it's probably going to be fine when you tell them for the most part.
Yeah, it would be. And the other thing that to consider, really, is the cause. You know, we've kind of spoken around this a little bit, but, you know, it's a really obvious one now with COVID and everything else. that the things are so unusual and so stressful that they can cause anxiety in people who don't normally get it, you know. People may have, you know, ill family members who they're not allowed to see. You know, there's been all sorts of reports of people who couldn't go to funerals, couldn't see people on their deathbed in hospital, you know, so it's a particularly unusual, stressful time, and that can cause anxiety. Because you can be someone who's never had anxiety and then suddenly gets it around a particular stressor in life.
Yeah.
But then there are people who suffer from anxiety and it's indiscriminate, triggers it, how often it happens and everything else, you know. So that would factor in too, you know, today. Because it's very different. People have this, you know, they've been married for 20, 30 years and just suddenly out of the blue they get anxiety. So then the partner knows, well, this is really unusual. Maybe that makes it a bit more serious. They need more support. Very different to starting the relationship, knowing, okay, you suffer from anxiety, whether or not there's a known reason why, whether or not there's specific triggers for it. It's just a different dynamic.
It totally is. And it is hard, and it can put some strain on your relationship at times. And that doesn't mean that the person is not caring or understanding of your situation, but like, it's hard. And you know, when we were long distance and I had a really bad flare up of anxiety, it was after we'd met and before we saw each other again, and there was a lot of uncertainty and we had some personal relationship stuff that we were working through as well, which probably in person wouldn't have been as big of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
But when you put the miles between it, it was a very big deal. And because I was already in an anxious state of mind because we were apart, these other issues that weren't very big seemed fucking huge in my little anxious brain. And so that put a lot of pressure on you. And I remember one day I was having a really bad time of it. I mean, the whole period of time was rough, but a couple of days I actually had to go to the emergency room because like my medication just wasn't stopping. I was having like 2-day-long panic attacks. And I was trying to get a hold of you. Your dad was on vacation. You were running his business in his absence. And I was like, I need to talk to you. You're like, I'm really sorry. I literally can't. I'm answering phones. Like, I don't know how to help you right now. And, you know, and it was hard. You weren't being horrible. You were being honest about the way it was affecting you.
Well, that's that's the thing that never really gets brought up in these conversations, or if it does, it's much lesser. It's one, how it's affecting the other person, and two, when they don't know what to do. You know, I didn't always know what to do. I don't know, like, it's a difficult one because there's no one answer for that. There's no one way to feel about that. But
you just got to work through it.
All the focus, understandably, goes to the person who at that moment is experiencing the anxiety, but it affects both people.
It affects a lot of people, and that's something I was made aware of quite young, and rightly or wrongly, I struggled with anxiety growing up, and I had like, I was afraid to go to school. I had like serious phobias around being apart from my mom when I was little. And it was fucking hard on my mom that every morning I'd have a panic attack. I'd ask her the same like obsessive series of questions about whether everything was going to be okay, if the day would go by fast, if she was going to be okay, if she would be safe, da da da, you know, and it was a real obsessive anxiety panic disorder in a child. And my parents did everything they could in terms of professional help. And, you know, I think similar to what you said about your parents, there was a bit of a sweet spot around like, yes, telling me what I needed to hear, but also making me question it.
Well, and they also still made you go to school.
Yes. And that is the absolute thing. You know, the thing I wanted more in the world than anything was to be homeschooled, because I didn't want, once I got to school, like after an hour or so, I was usually okay. You know, my friends distracted me. I did enjoy learning. I liked my teachers. But that morning,
yeah, I think it's probably worth lingering on that point for a second, because some people listening to this may think, well, if you want to be homeschooled, that's reasonable. But it wasn't like there was anything at school that should have been scary. You weren't being bullied, you weren't abused, you weren't being told off.
I mean, I should have been bullied for the way I fucking cried every morning when I got to school. Like, we'd go on the field and play before the bell rang, and I would just be a blithering mess. But my friends,
that's not an instruction to bully kids.
I'm just saying that you can see that kids like that would be a target for bullying. They're always going, what the fuck are you crying about? My friends were so sweet. They were like the complete opposite of bullying, and no one bullied me. Everyone was like, oh, is that kid okay? Or they just avoided me because I thought I was weird because I was crying all the time. I have a vivid memory of like maybe second grade, and being, you know, getting ready to line up to go in the classroom before the bell rang, waiting, you know, for that. And my friend needed to go to the bathroom. My best friend, we were standing next to each other, and I'm there mopey and sniffly because we've just got to school, and our other friends were around, and she goes, "Oh, can you stand with Andrea? I need to go to the bathroom." It's like they were making sure that someone was there to take care of me. My teachers were wonderful and that they knew about my situation, and they tried to accommodate that, but also didn't lower their expectations of me. And my parents did not lower their expectations of me. I had to go to school. And, you know, when I was like actually sick, I had to pass all kinds of tests before I'd be let to stay home because my parents were so concerned that I was faking it, which I often did. I didn't fake. I just, because I was so anxious at the time, I had tummy aches. I wasn't ill. It was just an anxious tummy. So it was like, if you're not barfing, if you don't have a fever, or if you can't breathe because your sinuses are so clogged, you were going to school. Because they just didn't trust me not to play it up, which yeah. I did. Anyways, I remember, so this went on for years. I eventually went on medication to help me focus in school and also not be so anxious and depressed. And that made a huge difference and was probably the only reason I was able to get through it. And it's worth noting, I know there's a lot of different feelings on medication now, the only reason that decision was made was because my school my grades were starting to suffer. I was so upset all the time that I actually wasn't learning, and that wasn't acceptable. So that helped. Anyways, years down the line, when I was maybe like a young teenager, like 12, 13, and I was still kind of struggling, I started doing better with it when I was 12 or 13, because that's when the social side of school and boys got really exciting. And so I was more interested in that. And like, I wanted to go see my friends and boys rather than stay with my mom. So that really helped. But my dad said to me once, I don't know if my mom and I were arguing or what, but it was like just an off the cuff comment. Like, you ought to cut your mom some slack. She's put up with a lot of shit from you, essentially. And I just went like, what do you mean? I'm a good kid. And he's like, yeah, you're a great kid. You don't cause any trouble. But do you know how hard it was on her all those years? You melting down? No, you couldn't help it. And that doesn't change the way we feel about you. But that was hard on her. And that's when I first really realized, oh my God, like the way I'm acting affects other people. And that it wasn't meant to make me feel guilty. It was meant to, I think, give me some perspective. The problem with that is then that I thought that I was a bit of a burden to people for a while. And that's something that people who are anxious do struggle with, or depressed, that you think you're a burden on people. And that's a hard thing to work through. And you just have to know it's not true.
Well, it is true, but everyone's a burden to people. Like, especially kids to parents. Forget anxiety for a moment. You know, being a parent means that at any age, it's, hey, can I borrow some money? Hey, can you pick me up? Hey, can you help me with this?
That's different.
Burden's the wrong word.
That's not a burden. Yeah, that's what you sign up for.
Well, any child of any parent, whatever the word is, if you only use burden, which is understandable, you are
at times
like but that's fine, you know, in the same way that, you know, when you've got pets, they're a burden. I've got to feed you in the morning, am I? Like,
oh wow, god, just, wow, your expectations in life are low. You got to feed a living being.
What I mean is,
the fuck,
them creating you means that they have responsibilities.
Yeah, responsibilities aren't the same as burdens. I mean, it's different to be like, yeah, I need to borrow money because I'm in a rough spot. But that's very different to what the mindset of someone is who suffers with anxiety and depression and knows that people around them are affected by it and genuinely feels that their mere existence is a burden on these people. Like, that's very different.
No,
and
I know
it's not to be joked about.
No, I know. But
son,
I'm not joking about it. I'm saying that...
Well, you can't compare it to someone asking for money or having to feed your dogs in the morning. Like,
I'm not comparing it to them asking for money. What I'm saying is any child... That just happened to be what they had to deal with you. Mm-hmm. With another child, it would be something else. You know, some kids are just little shits and they bully other kids and they steal. And, like, you know, parents just have to take that on. Yeah, burden's probably not the right word. But what I'm saying is it's not unique to people who suffer from anxiety. And you shouldn't feel that if you have anxiety, you're a particular type of burden.
Yeah, but people do. And, yeah, it's something you have to really... work through. And I feel like it was only a few years ago I had a bit of a rough patch, for like 4 years ago or so I had a bit of a rough patch with being really depressed and more depressed than anxious. And I remember talking to a friend about it who had experienced it a little bit, and I remember just being in her car with her and just like, I was so sick of talking about it to people. But when you're in that state, it's all you think about. you know, how you're feeling, how you're, when you're going to feel better, how, what you can do to make yourself feel better. Is everyone getting sick and tired of you? And I was just so tired of having that conversation, and I was fed up with myself and tired of it. I just burst into tears. Like, I just feel like such a burden to everyone. And it was the first time I kind of said that and realized that that's what that feeling was. Anyways, it can be really shit. I'm just going down a personal tangent. I didn't mean to, but moral of the story is that it can affect your partner. And that's why it's really important to have an open dialogue, because, you know, your partner might be completely sympathetic and supportive to it and, you know, completely believe you and not be belittling what you're going through, but it can still affect them, and that they feel really fucking awful that you're going through this and they're not there to be there for you.
Yeah, but I want to be a bit careful here, because really talking, kind of what we were just talking about then, and burdens and things, that doesn't mean that, you know, we don't want people listening to this feeling like, oh, well, shit, now I'm a burden to my boyfriend or my girlfriend.
No, no. You're saying that's how people can feel.
Yeah, no, I know. I, you know, there's only so much we can really say. We're probably not going to be your answer. You know, if it's, yeah, the communication's essential. And maybe there are other things that you'd need to explore too, you know, professional help or support groups or whatever else, because you shouldn't, if you are feeling that way, you shouldn't, about being a burden, about, yeah, well, now I don't want to talk to them because I don't want to make them, they've already got their own things to deal with, I don't want to add to that. You know, it's a very tricky situation, and every little nuance changes it, you know, the extent of your anxiety, the extent of what they're going through, your background, their background, what you've heard before, environmental factors, pandemics, you know, it's very unusual to be in exactly the same situation as someone else, even if on the surface you both say, yeah, we've got anxiety. Yeah, so, you know, it's a hard one. Just, you need the open dialogue, and you need to be open to getting help, but also getting the right help, you know, not people who just pander to it, people who say, yeah, you know, you're the one suffering anxiety, so whatever you want is what should happen. Unfortunately, that's not true. You know, like I said before, that would have meant you never went to school. I would have been in all sorts of terrible situations if I'd been, if that had happened to me, when my parents had just done whatever I'd asked them to. Well, I would have been hospitalised, really.
Mm.
You know, so it's just not the right thing.
Do you expand on that at all?
No, no, there's okay. No need to.
Yeah.
Other than it being an example that what you, the person suffering from it, wants is driven by that comfort and just, it's fear. You know, that moment when you're being gripped by that panic, it's fear telling you, I need this, I need this, I need this. Sometimes the person on the outside can say, yeah, you think you want that, and you do want that, but if that's what you get, you'll never get better.
Yeah.
So I'd say be very mindful to that, because sometimes that's something you don't really appreciate until you're on the other side of it. Yeah, when you're really in the midst of that anxiety, it can be very hard to have that same perspective.
Yeah.
But, you know, just know if someone is telling you no, if someone's saying, yeah, we'll do this instead, maybe they're right. I think that's the problem. When I said before that mental health is very in vogue right now, it can very much be, you know, we live in this weird state of tolerance and acceptance, which is obviously brilliant and what we should have, but it's kind of in a weird state at times.
It's where, like a free-for-all.
Yeah, where it kind of means you know more than anyone what you need. That's just not true.
Yeah.
Like, humans are not really that smart, because we're driven by, we can be driven by our fears to motivate biology, us, or yeah, just comfort. You don't always know what's best for you at all, you know. And that's why we have teachers and parents and
doctors,
mentors and doctors and professors and everyone else, because we have to learn from people who've been where we are and moved on from it, which is why I said before that just talking and getting advice from people who are still in the same place as you, yeah, it can feel really good. And yes, it can be really good that you feel like you get that understanding, that you're around people who understand you, and that is great. But if you want to move on from it, the only people that can really help you with that are the people who have been there and moved on.
The way I look at it with, you know, depression and anxiety, and I mean, obviously, you know, I can't, neither of us are like mental health professionals or doctors, and certain mental health issues schizophrenia, obsessive compulsive, you know, that's really outside of what we're talking about right now.
Mm.
Neither of us have had any experience with that. Neither of us know anything about that. But when it comes to general sort of anxiety, general depression and the things that come with that, we both have experienced that. But everything that, you know, you're just saying, I totally agree with. And it's basically, it's hard to work through that. And to just sit in your comfort bubble and have everyone pander to you is not going to help you get through it. And unfortunately, you're going to have to put yourself through some difficult and uncomfortable situations to work through it or find a way to cope with it. But the way I look at it and the way I try to look at it every time I deal with this is remembering that discomfort is the nature of the beast when you're anxious. So you can either live in this and suffer through it and kind of just try and build your comfy little nest around you that doesn't challenge what you're going through with people who, you know, walk on eggshells. That's still uncomfortable. You know, people telling you everything you want to hear, that doesn't change what you're feeling inside. It doesn't reason away the worry in your brain. It's still there. So you might as well put yourself in the situations, whether that's going out and asking for help, whether that's letting people say no to you, whether that's saying no to yourself. That's discomfort too, but it's more likely that you're going to benefit from that.
Yeah, because if your coping mechanism is to make people around you bend to your will, you will come a point, it could be 20 years from now, where people don't. And well, then you've never learned that coping mechanism.
And that may not even be down to you. It might just be that your family has done that because they didn't know how to deal with, you know, what you've been living through and have kind of, you know, bend to your will without you even having to say it. You know what I mean? Like, you might have just been in that situation. It may not be that you're this evil, like, demanding, controlling person, making people bow down to your problems. Not that we're saying anyone is that, but, you know, basically, it may not always be that you've chosen that or that's what you're trying to orchestrate. It just happens naturally around you. So, yeah, you're going to be uncomfortable living with anxiety. You're uncomfortable every day. You might as well make that discomfort something that you're going to grow from.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, you'd go back to you not wanting to go to school. Like, if you didn't want to, if you were always let off the things you didn't want to do, none of us would take tests at school, none of us have qualifications, none of us would do anything that was remotely uncomfortable, and yet that's always where we grow, where we improve, and ultimately you look back with a bit of pride on those things. So, yeah, it's a tough one, you know. I think the main thing is just to, like we always say, the two things, be honest with yourself. Is this actually anxiety, or am I just feeling this other thing that I'm mistaking for anxiety? And communication.
Yeah. Communicate with yourself first and foremost, and then with your partner and people around you that can help you. And, you know, it's also worth noting that, like, when you close the distance, you know, that anxiety will likely dissipate in terms of the long distance, but it could manifest in another way.
Well, then your anxiety of, oh, now we live together.
Or, well, now I'm away from all my friends and family because I've moved, or my partner's moving here. Oh my God, what if we don't make it? And he's moved his whole life for me, or she, you know, and I'm not going to give you more to worry about. You have plenty to worry about, but, you know, you can do it. It's shit at times, and there's no key to it. And like Rich said, we have no real answer for you. All we can say is recognize and try and do some research as to what you're experiencing. And if that is anxiety, talk about it, get help, and be upfront with yourself.
Yeah, and as uncomfortable as it feels for you now, there are people who've been there and moved on.
Like, loads it can be done. People. Yeah, it's shocking how many people deal with it. You know, more than you'd think. People you wouldn't think. But yeah, on that note, we hope you all have a wonderful holiday period. If you celebrate Christmas, just a few days away, stay safe, and take care of yourselves. Bye.